This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery, just like Leicester City this season. So the only thing left to say is, you win, order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus. Rewards registration required, points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
95% of Uber Eats orders are on time, which is great. Because when I want my spicy shrimp pad thai, I want it on time. Because, baby, there's no time like the present, especially when it's pad thai related. But on the off chance your order is late, Uber Eats will give you 3 months, $0 delivery fee with a free Uber One membership. On time, pad thai, baby.
On time claim based on latest arrival time shown after order is placed. Offer ends 2/19/2023. Current Uber One members not eligible. Subscription will auto-renew at $9.99 each month, starting 3 months from initial enrollment. See uber.com/uber1 for terms. Benefits available only for eligible stores. Order minimums apply.
Strap yourself in,
because we're set up, switched on, and ready to go.
You are watching and listening to Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV on YouTube
and your favorite podcasts.
TV, your first choice for everything Leicester City. Tune in and join in now.
And now, here's your host.
All right, Chris.
All right, Chunkies, good afternoon. How the devil are we all? 2 weeks just coming up into the new season. Well, it will be this weekend when we travel down to the Emirates. And not much longer left on the old transfer window. But the Premier League is back.
The Premier League is back, and we've got it all covered here on Leicester Till I Die TV. Subscribe.
Indeed, please do. If you haven't already, if you are new to the channel, please do subscribe. If you are already a subscriber, please hit the, or smash it, the likes button. It does help with the old YouTube algorithms. And at my age, you need all the help you can get. Hey, welcome along. It is the Leicester Till I Die news show. And I've not done it for a few days, basically because there's not been much happening, but kind of the doors opening and closing. Indeed. Scott's in. Good evening, Scott. How the devil are you? Hope you are well, sir. Spencer, Hello to you as well. I hope you are also very, very well. As Scott says there, please like this stream. Exactly what I was just saying before. It is brilliant. A lot of different shows. And I'll tell you about the one that's coming up later, but it's a little bit different, a little bit different. Mike's in. Good evening, Mike. Thanks very much. How the world are you? You're still buzzing. Did you win? I have to apologise. Mike is a good friend. He's a Man United stroke Newport fan. Although having said that, he's more Newport now, which is where he's from. He is Welsh. I'm guessing it might have been the Carrera Cup. I don't know. And Scott is saying hello to the chat. Well, we've finally seen some action down the old KP. So let's be having a look at what the news are saying, shall we? Let's get straight into it and let me know your comments and what you think of the news as we go through it. So starting off with Arsenal. Arsenal make Yuri Tielemans decisions. Well, maybe. Arsenal may not make a summer, but they may not make a summer move now for Leicester City midfielder Yuri Tielemans, with the Gunners prepared to wait for a year to try and get him on a free transfer. The Belgian has entered the final year of his contract, as we know, blah, 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 blah. Arsenal are the club most heavily linked with the player. City have been in talks with Tielemans over a new deal for well over a year, but obviously he is refusing to sign. So what do you guys think about this Tielemans? I know it is taking up, I'm not going to lie, it is taking up a hell of a lot of our talk time. I'm not going to lie on that at all. But is it fair? You know, will he sign a one-year deal? What are your guys' thoughts on Tielemans? Are you getting fed up and just want him out now? What have I got? Is it not the same article on screen? I do apologise. My eyes aren't what they used to be. We'll just do it like this then. Just do it like this. I'm at the point where, look, stay or go, because, you know, if Arsenal are going to hope to get you free in a year, that may or may not happen. Hopefully Tielemans will sign a contract. I feel like we've been talking this over and over and over again. But I have got, if there's any Arsenal fans watching, I have got some news for you. Tielemans will actually be playing at the Emirates on Saturday. Yep. There we go. He's also in a new film, Arrival. The future comes early. Maybe it is. Maybe it is indeed. Appearing this weekend at the Emirates. So, wouldn't it be funny? Or is it just me that's going to think this? Wouldn't it be funny if... I am still here, by the way. Hello. Wouldn't it be funny if he went and scored a couple of goals? Or even gets a hat trick. How nice would that be? He could bugger off then. You know what I mean? Just get. I'd love that. I'd love it. I would love that if it happened. Going down to Arsenal, getting Yuri Tielemans still in the team. Putting three past Arsenal.
I will love it if we beat them. Love it.
Wouldn't you just? I think the longer the window goes on, the more likely it is he stays. I am thinking so, to be honest with you. I think if I was a betting man, I would probably say he'll sign a one-year contract so that, you know, we're not going to lose him next season for nothing. Which would be pretty decent of him. And I think he'd still be here. And as I've said before, I think he's the difference between us maybe getting into Europe or not getting into Europe. And obviously, if we get into Europe, that's a lot of money and we could then probably afford to let him go. So, we beat Luton away, says Mike, from 1-0 down. Well done, Newport. Well done indeed. Yannick Vestergaard, we've put a price tag on him. We were prepared to let him go for 12 million this summer. But the Denmark international would apparently prefer a loan move
having only just joined the Foxes last season. This is according to the Daily Mail. He is keen to secure valuable game time to boost his chances of making an appearance in this year's World Cup. Despite being a regular player for Southampton, before his move to the King Power, he has started just 6 games for Brendan Rodgers, making a total of 20 outings in his first season. Now, like I say, I do feel a little bit sorry for Yannick Vestergaard because he's coming to a side that was having problems last season. We know that, you know, the defence wasn't brilliant. The defence wasn't brilliant, and he struggled coming into it. It was different every week, but he hasn't impressed us. I think he maybe had one good game for us. It was in Europe. I mean, if Fulham have come in, I thought Fulham would come in with 11 million. If we're going to be holding on to this guy for the sake of 1 million, why? Let him go for the sake of £1 million. If he doesn't want to go on for sale, if he wants to go out on loan, well, Yannick, it's going to be down to you. You go out and sell and maybe go to Fulham and get into the Danish squad for the World Cup because you'll be playing week in, week out. Or you stick with Leicester because you don't want to be sold. We don't play you very often and you ain't going to be picked for the World Cup team, are you, for Denmark? So I think the decision's going to rest with him, obviously. Hassan, good evening, sir. How are you? Welcome along. I really do like Vestergaard, but our style of play doesn't suit him, unfortunately. You're quite right again. You know, he was an emergency buy because of what happened to Fofana. He turned Fulham down because they wouldn't meet his personal terms, apparently. But like I say, it all comes to a thing of what he really wants. Is he bothered for a few extra £1,000 a week? Or does he want to be in the Denmark World Cup squad? Because I'll tell you this now, if he stays at Leicester, he will not get enough game time to get into the Denmark World Cup squad. He definitely won't. So the choice is his. The choice really is his. George tunes in. Good evening, sir. How the devil are you? Why, hey, the lads. Oh, that was awful, wasn't it? I hope you are well. So let's just hope. Well, Fulham, I'm not sure who the other one was, but somebody else came in for him as well. So let's hope that they may come back. We're going to lose 3 million on him, but hey ho, what's 3 million between friends? Chelsea in reluctance over Fofana deal. Chelsea reportedly reluctant to break the record for the most expensive defender in the world to sign Wesley Fofana due to a previous deal done by Leicester City. Basically, what they're saying is we got 80 million for Harry Maguire. Sorry, mate. Sorry, I know. I can't do accents. Vestergaard was always a panic buy. He was indeed. We sold Harry Maguire for 80 million. Now, I know he's struggling at Man United. Don't forget, like I say, I changed my whole attitude towards Harry Maguire when I learnt that he'd signed that contract extension so that we didn't lose out on any money, what we were basically asking Tielemans to do. Now, if Harry Maguire was worth 80 million, I believe he was, because when he left us, he was our first choice centre back. He was in the England squad. And I think he was worth 80 million. Now, what's happened to him at Manchester United, that is up to Manchester United. He was not a bad player when he left us. Maybe Manchester United have made him into a bad player. But then again, look at the couple of seasons that Manchester United have had. Be honest with you. Be honest now, guys. Who hasn't had a bad few seasons at Manchester United? And I think, you know, Leicester are talking about 85 million for Fofana. He signed a 5-year contract. Chelsea aren't going to come and put up the money like with Arsenal. I don't think he'll go for anything less than 80. the same. I think we want more than we had got for Maguire. Just an interesting fact. I was having this chat with somebody earlier. Harry Maguire, would you have him back? Would you have him back with a cheaper price tag? You know, like Coutinho went to Barcelona for 100-odd million quid and then came back to Villa for about 17. If we could get Harry Maguire back for £20 million or less, would you have him? I'm not saying pay 85 because obviously he's not the player we let go, but would you have him back for like a cut price £20 million? Let me know what you think in the chat, and we'll come back to that later. But would you have Maguire back if it was a cheap price? Danzin, bonjour, Chris, bonjour. Watching, eating, and revising. I'm a woman's dream. Does it not mean nightmare? First time for everything, Daniel. I think it'll be a dry one anyway. That's all I'll say. A prime Messi would be bad at Man United. Exactly. This is what I'm saying. And, you know, these players that are going mad about Harry Maguire, look, he's a captain. He was expensive. That's why they're having a go at him. I get it. You know, they paid 80-odd million for him. He was not too bad, I don't believe, for the first couple of seasons. But like I say, everybody's gone down there now. Spencer says, I would say the longer the window goes on, the more Fofana's price will go up. Look, we've got him on a 5-year deal. And he's come out and said, and we will come on to Fofana in a minute in more detail. Jamie Vardy. Jamie Vardy is reportedly in talks to extend his contract at Leicester City for another year. The City favourite is in the final 12 months of his current deal at the KP, which was signed in 2020. Vardy has scored 164 goals in 386 games for the Foxes since joining from Fleetwood Town in 2012. Wow. And we looked at that and thought, we weren't even in the Premier League then, and we just paid £1 million for a non-league player. It's amazing. Reports have emerged that the 35-year-old is in talks to sign an extension to his current deal. He's 35, guys. He's 35. A year, would you give him that? Would you give him two? I mean, you know, he's getting on. I've always said that I see Jamie Vardy's career as going down the line of being a super sub, that eventually Daka will take over. And Daka will, you know, be the guy on for 70 minutes, knacker the defence out with his speed and running. And then, sorry, this is annoying me. And then Vardy comes on for the last 20 minutes when they're all knackered. So, but yeah, I let certainly for the one season, definitely sign him up. Do not let him go. I don't think he'd go anywhere else. I think he wants to end his English career anyway at Leicester. I don't think he really doesn't want to go anywhere else. Whether he goes to America or not, obviously that's an option. Geordie says, Chris, when you said KP, couldn't help but think of nuts. Yeah, looking at me as well, I'm guessing. Okay. Apparently, Leicester City are in 70 million transfer claim as key replacement identified. Apparently, we are closely monitoring Nantes goalkeeper Alban Lafont as a potential replacement for Kasper Schmeichel, according to reports. Now, apparently, it's from the French outlet Mediafoot. Now, I don't know who the hell Mediafoot is. I've never heard of them. But is this how we are getting now as Leicester, you know, as Leicester Mercury, Leicestershire Live, Sky, all of those? We are taking clips from 90minute.com. This is Football, all those sorts of general news sites, and putting them out as genuine links. A couple of years ago, we'd have wiped our bottom with the paper that those are written on. But now, so I don't know. Scott is saying, I think a year is good for both parties as he can help with his knowledge and experience to help Daka. I don't think any more than a year, in to be honest. And yep, that's a good point. Vardy's had a few links with Chelsea and Manchester United. Personally, I think he'll stay. What's your thoughts? Vardy's not going to go. Vardy, I mean, is he going to get the game time at Chelsea? Do they play to his strengths? You could argue that Brendan doesn't always play to his strengths. I don't know. I mean, would you go to Manchester United? I don't know. Still wondering what anybody's thoughts are on having Maguire back. And it's never going to happen, but just out of interest, what your thoughts are. But why are we looking at this goalkeeper? Now, Brendan Rodgers, for some reason, and I guess I get it, he likes three goalkeepers. That's why we had Djokovic sat on the bench with splinters in his arse for 3 or 4 years. He likes three goalkeepers. Problem is that what we need to be spending money on? Surely we've missed out on Luckman, and Brendan Rodgers has come out and gone, oh, the game would have been perfect for him against Brentford. Well, you let him fucking go, didn't you? Or Rudkin did, or somebody did at the club. You know, he'd have snapped our hands off to come back here, and we've let him go. Do we need that money that we could potentially spend on that position, which we've never really filled properly since Mahrez left? Do we need to spend that on a third-choice goalkeeper? We've got three goalkeepers, for God's sake. You know, we've got Ward, an international. Played, okay, one Premier League game. He's played quite a fair few cup games. He's not bad at stopping penalties, if you remember, in some of those cup games. And I tell you what, he impressed me during the game against Brentford. Didn't have a lot to do, but when he did in the first half, he was there. And I just think a third goalkeeper. You know, we've got Ward, we've got Iverson, and I believe I'd love to see Iverson actually play in the, you know, cup games, and then we've got Stolchuk that would be that third choice goalkeeper. Why, when we've got those, do we need to go out and buy somebody? Brendan, screw your head on. Look where we need it. Dubrovka. Well, we were linked with him at one. We're linked with everybody, aren't we? But we don't need to. We do not need to buy goalkeepers. We really don't. Mike was making his food. Girl, welcome back. Welcome back. Hope you're not going to poison yourself. Scott said 80 million to take him off the hands. I tell you what, if they said to us, you know, 10 million, do you want him back? I'd say yes. And I do think it's Man United that have made Maguire a bad player. Not that Maguire is particularly a bad player. As Geordie said earlier, Messi, prime Messi in that team would be rubbish. Now then, club keen on 70 million Leicester City transfer after Brendan Rodgers' comments. It seems to be a nice number, that 17 million. It seems to be quoted in every story. But Monaco remain interested in the summer move for Leicester City midfielder Boubacary Soumaré, with Brendan Rodgers' side standing firm on their asking price. The Frenchman arrived at City last summer, but failed to adapt to the tempo of the Premier League in his first season. The 23-year-old played a total of 30 times in all competitions. In fairness, he's looked good probably in only a couple, if we're honest. I think it's a bit hard to say he hasn't adapted to the game in his first season, because he's come from a different league. He's come from a foreign league that plays differently to the Premier League. How long did it take Vardy to adapt just moving up in the same country from a lower to an upper division? It can take a season. You know, we were unlucky last year that we had to play him in games where we probably wouldn't want to. Soyuncu was the prime example. He was here for a year before we sold Maguire, knowing that Maguire was going to be going. We got him in, and he had a year to adapt. He came in, and let's be honest with you, we know his appendage was a lot bigger, and we didn't miss Maguire at all. But Samari, maybe that's what he needed. But allegedly, he's fallen out with Brendan. Brendan's asked him to change his game a little bit. But then if you're going to ask a player to change the game, why buy them? You know, you wouldn't surely when you go out and say, right, this is the player we want. And let's be honest with you, he was a title winner in France with Lille. And that, you know, when you come to think about Paris Saint-Germain, that isn't an easy thing to do. But if we bought him, surely we knew what his strengths and weaknesses are. And now this isn't just Brendan, this is the whole recruitment team. We must have looked at that and go, yeah, no, this is his strength. He's good at this, he's bad at that. And then we get him in and we say, well, actually, we want you to do this. You know, that's like getting Riyad Mahrez in and saying to him, right, we want you to play as a central defender. I mean, I thought this club was run quite well in parts, but I am beginning to wonder whether this is Brendan, the recruitment team. Why go and spend millions on a player and then you want to change him? What is the point? Why didn't we just buy a player that plays like you want him to play, Brendan? Or is that too obvious? Am I stating the obvious here? Scott said he thinks there's something going on between Brendan and the board. I'm not saying Brendan's a bad manager. I just think he's on thin ice with decisions both on and off the pitch. Looking at his interviews, he's into self-preservation, is Brendan. He will say whatever he wants to say to... you know, to keep him, you know, keep his job, basically. Everybody said he had this third-year syndrome, doesn't he? Maybe he's feeling that a little bit. He was under pressure last season. We're going to be going through the Sky report later, so let's leave that until then. But Mike said he thinks Brendan will go, but who's going to be in for him? You know, when he was linked to Man United and Tottenham, when we were doing well, he's not got those links now. Paris Saint-Germain and Real Madrid and Barcelona haven't come knocking at our doors asking for him. Not even Spurs. Oh, Arsenal. Arsenal might, because they like everything Leicester, don't they? But basically, if Samari's going to go, good luck to him. I don't blame him whatsoever, because, like I say, I don't think he's been given a fair crack of the whip. And why buy a player who plays style A when you need a player that plays style B? Why don't you just go and buy a player that plays style B? If we're offered a little bit under the 17, apparently we're holding out for this, then we'll see. We'll see what happens. A player that has gone, and that is Hamza Chowdhury. Gone today, as they say. I know it's a bad pun again. I'll give myself one of these. Go on. Yeah. I'm sorry. I get confused about Hamza. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't used to rate him. He very much always had a red card in him when he went out on the pitch. And I wasn't sure about his talent. I guess you could say behind Ndidi and Mendy, he was always going to be third choice. But the thing about him was he was versatile. Remember that Liverpool game when we beat them 1-0? And I just remember Brendan coming out and all those pictures where he's going like, yeah, that's my man. Hey, look at him. He's brilliant. Blowing smoke up his arse. And then we never saw him again. Now, as everybody has been saying to me, that, you know, Brendan is right to praise players when they have a good game. Yes, praise them. But he was got his head so far up Chowdhury's arse, it was coming out of his mouth. And then not to play him and now to put him up. you know, it's going to be a point where if Brendan says you've got a good game, it's, well, I don't believe him. He's going to sell me next week. That's what that means. In fact, the dreaded vote of confidence to him, he's giving that to the players. He was absolutely, absolutely the best thing since sliced bread after that game. Oh, shut up, Brendan. Don't do it. You know, say he had a good game. He was maybe our best player. That's fine. But all those pictures with the pointing at him and it's, you were being so sycophant towards him. I just think sometimes I am starting to waver on Brendan. I'm not going to lie. I am starting to waver on the way that he handles things. He's absolutely shit, and I don't think they trust him with the transfers. You're quite right on that, Scott. I would say that they don't trust him on that. And then that's why we've got Rudkin. That's why we've got this coach, this from Southampton that we can't get until after the window. How is this club being run? This guy puts it, be very interesting later. Spencer said that could have been trying to get rid of him in January. We could have done. I think West Brom were interested. I mean, he's gone to Watford and he's turned down West Brom. Would you want to go and play for Steve Bruce? I'm sorry, but he's gone. It's a year's loan he's gone on. Have they got an option to buy? 24-year-olds join the Hornets on a long loan spell. Yep, with an option to buy. Let's be honest with you, we'll see him next season back in the Premier League with Watford. We'll see him for a season. Watford fans seem quite happy. Let's have a look at what a few of the Watford fans were saying. Jack, great signing, proper old-fashioned defensive midfielder, always room for one of them in the Championship. Bringing a creative option alongside him and the midfield is much more respectable. Vic says, we've been in desperate need of a defensive midfielder since Kapui left. Happy with this. CD Smith, really happy with this. Not the most composed, but covers a lot of ground. Does the simple stuff well and physically strong, something we really lack. Miles, very happy with this signing. Welcome to Watford, Hamza Chowdhury. Douglas, could be worse, could be better. Main thing, he's an upgrade on Cleverley. That's saying something, because he used to be Man United. Yeah, I see what you mean, Douglas. Joel, proper signing that. A perfect move for all parties involved. Watch them versus West Brom. The Hornets nest. Big fan of this signing. Get loser back from injury and the midfield is looking much better. But Cameron says he's torn on the signing. Bill has impressed me for Leicester, especially when he broke through. Great signing. I think we'll all agree he goes with our best wishes. You know, he's been a little bit naughty in his time, let's be honest with you. COVID parties, uncough. But, I think we do wish him all the best. Scott says, great to see Hamza out on loan. His best position is back at centre-back. This time last year, Ashley couldn't or wouldn't let us loan Hamza. How's it changed in a year? Indeed, now you wouldn't look at him. Rene, good evening. How are you, sir? Welcome along. Samari will go, I believe, and I think he will. But like I say, it's sad, but just one that didn't work out. Scott says, Chris, you're proving my point about Rodgers. I'm just saying, you know, I'm a Rodgers fan. I think he's done well, but he's a coach. Keep him away from the signings. Obviously run them past him, get him involved, but don't let him suggest anybody. I'm sorry. I am, you know, I'm not an outer. I'm still an inner, but I'm wavering a little bit. Rene, you see, everybody says, okay, let's get rid of him. Who are we going to get in? You're saying get Poch in. How do we know that Poch would come? I reckon that Poch would get a top six club in the UK or in England. Sorry, he'd get a top side, and we're not that. So I don't think Poch would come to us. You know, how many years we kept going on? Oh, Ancelotti wants to come. Ancelotti never wanted to come. He didn't come, and he went to Everton over us in the end. So now, whether we actually ever made the move for him or not, I don't know. But you know, we never get him. Scott, Rene, I'm not in the Brendan now. I still believe he has purpose at Leicester. I just don't agree with his interviews. Agree indeed. Fantastic signing for them, says Mike. Well, I mean, the thing is as well, of course, now we had 27 players. 25-man squad for the Premier League. Schmeichel's gone. Choudhury's gone. So we're now down to those 25. Maybe. Watch this space. Don't necessarily believe everything you read on Twitter. Would Poch be good for us? Probably. Probably. I don't think he's a bad manager. I think he was treated badly, you know. He had a season, if you remember, at Spurs, a summer transfer, I think it was, or was it winter, where he didn't sign anybody. So he'd feel at home here. Poch won't go to Leicester. No, I agree with you, Mike. I agree. I don't think he would. Basically, I'd say Dyche would still be in contention. I think I would rather shoot myself, Dan. I would rather shoot myself. This is how football changes. However many years ago, he was always being linked with Leicester. Please, for God, no. Chris could always get Steve Cooper. Put the cat amongst the pigeons. I am saying nothing. I am saying nothing. Would I moan? I probably wouldn't, if I'm honest with you. And Geordie says, Leicester are a well-run club by its owners, so why wouldn't Poch come? I tell you the thing with Poch, right? Poch, with Poch, Pochettino, is if he came, I think he would only come because he didn't have any other offers. And I think if he did come, as soon as a big club came sniffing, I think he'd be off. You know? Yeah, as Mike said there, Poch had no signings and got to the Champions League final with Spuds. Yeah, totally. I mean, I'm not saying he's not a bad manager. He is a very good manager. As I've just said, Spurs treated him horrendously. But I honestly think we would be a stepping stone for him. Because like I said, if we signed him, and let's say Ten Hag didn't work out at Man United and their owners got rid and they came knocking, I think he'd jump ship straight away. I really, really do. Anyway, Caribou Cup draw tonight, and we are going to be talking about that and what Sky have been saying about Leicester City, and we'll be doing that straight after this.
Leicester Till I Die TV, your first choice for everything Leicester City. Tune in and join in now.
Indeed, and please do it.
Watch us on YouTube. Listen on your favourite podcast platform. Or ask your smart speaker to play the podcast Leicester Till I Die.
Subscribe, like, follow and join in now.
Yes, indeed. Now, I'm going to try and get this up on the screen because it is quite long, so do bear with me. While I am doing this, we've got a show coming up at 9 o'clock, myself and Dan. It's the Big Bad Badge Show. I should have called it that, shouldn't I? The Big Bad Badge Show. Wow. We will be actually, just as a difference, I know we always rate the shirts, the home and away. Well, we're going to actually be rating everybody in the Premier League's all 20 teams' badges. So a little bit different. Big Bad Bad Show. I'm going to write that down. I do like that. I know I'm sad, aren't I? The Big Bad Badge Show. Oh, yes, indeedy. Right, so after that, we're going to start with talking about 9 o'clock. About 9 o'clock, should be 9 o'clock. And I say, what we're doing is going through everybody's badge from AFC Bournemouth down to Wolves and rating them. Some are good, some are nice, some are just plain awful. So, bit of fun. They are... Whilst we're on air, they'll probably be doing the draw. So if we're still on air at the end, we will sort of bring you details of the Caribou Cup draw. Scott says, what's the chance of we get Newport again? Rate the shirts 1 to 20. Well, we weren't actually... Well, we've done the shirts. Anyway, we're just waiting for all the away shirts to come out. Leicester not having brought their second strip out yet. I hope we get Burnley onto the EFL Cup. I've only two clubs' badges away from completing my homework. Dan has got some information on the badges. Do you reckon we'll get Newport again? That could be interesting. There is offering lists, Potter, Dice, Ancelotti and Mancini. Would you want Ancelotti? Because I wouldn't, not now. Yeah, OK, he's done well at Real Madrid, but that's just... I don't know. I don't think... I tell you what, he's another one. Not only Poch, but Ancelotti. We know if he came to us, and is he going to leave Real Madrid for us? I doubt it. Mancini, Italian manager, he might. He might be. I don't know. Right, let's have a look at this. Mike says we can't get Leicester. We're in the south, I think, as well. Because are you in the south? You're South Wales, aren't you? Geordie Toon says, Scott says, Geordie, I understand what you're saying about Potts. I just think he'll want a bigger club. As for managers bringing in youngsters, Steve Cooper has a track record as well as others. If I've got to be honest with you, would I want Poch or would I want Cooper? I would take Steve Cooper. I really would, because of what I've said before. I'm not saying this because it's Forest, but at the moment, we are the bigger club, the Nottingham Forest. It would be a step up for him. Poch, I could say, I just think him, Ancelotti, if any of those came, they'd go like that, you know. We've been put in the northern section. Oh, my God. What? That's like cobbled pitches and wooden seats. And that's just Burnley. But anyway, let's have a look at what they have been saying on Sky Sports about Leicester City. So bear with me because it's quite a long one. So I'm going to try and cut it down a little bit. But as they say, so bear with me. We won't take any questions until the end. But it is a very, very... It's probably the most sensible thing that has come out during this transfer window about Leicester City. So this is written by Rob Dorset, who is obviously Sky Sports News senior reporter for the Midlands. That's a huge title, isn't it? Can you imagine his badge must go from one side of his chest to the other? Anyway, Leicester City remain the only Premier League club yet to sign a new player. Even more worrying for supporters is the fact that some of their biggest stars, Fofana, Maddison, Tielemans, Barnes, are being targeted by some of the richest clubs in the Premier League. So what is the problem? Is the club in financial trouble? Have Leicester lost their ambition? Are they now a selling club? The answer to all of these questions is no. So those of us that are saying, oh, it's a selling club, the answer to that is no. It's all part of an unwavering plan which, whilst unpalatable to many Leicester fans, is consistent with their long-term strategy. Let's deal first with the possible outgoings. Let's just bring that up. Leicester fans are understandably mortified at the prospect of losing one or more of the jewels in their crown, especially with no signs of new blood coming in. Let's quickly get past the Brentford game. They've already lost a favourite in Kasper Schmeichel. Remember, with no prospect of a like-for-like replacement. With that, that's the one point where I say we don't need one. But so far, Schmeichel aside, who was given special dispensation because of his outstanding service to the club, the owners have rejected every bid that has come in for one of their best players. Chelsea's second bid for Fofana was more than double the one that Leicester paid St Etienne for him less than 2 years ago. To sell now would sound like sensible business, no? Double your money in just over 18 months? Not if, like Leicester, you believe Fofana's value will grow still further after another season or two in the Premier League. That's why they're very reluctant to sell now. unless Chelsea really are prepared to go big and eclipse the world record fee that Man U paid for Harry Maguire. Leicester's approach might be more difficult to sustain if Fofana himself is desperate to leave. His cryptic Instagram message saying he will annoy a lot of people if he does what's best for him has been interpreted as him favouring a move to Stamford Bridge. But my understanding, that says Rob Dorset at Sky, is that whilst ambitious, he is happy at Leicester, hence him signing a contract extension just 5 months ago. And it's hard to see a player of Fofana's character going in on strike or agitating for a move like Riyad Mahrez did in 2018. Well done, at least somebody agrees with me about Mahrez. Leicester's success in recent years has been in selling one of their best players for top dollars and reinvesting that money wisely. Look at the departure of Mahrez, Kante, Chilwell and Maguire. If they are to sell any of their players now, it would only be if the buying club is prepared to pay a premium. Whilst the pandemic hit King Power very hard as an international duty-free business, Leicester City is not, I repeat, is not in any financial trouble. So no player will be sold on the cheap. And to that end, I've been told that privately, Leicester bosses have found Newcastle offers for Maddison verging on the offensive. Wow, Geordie. Wow. And then we can see Leicester's transfer spending by season. And that's our spent. So 16-17-82, virtually the same in 17-18. 18-19, 104.3. Then 91, then 51, then 55. Nothing at the bottom there. And this is what we've sold. 57 in 16-17, 45.5, 69, 80, and 53.7. So the net spend, 25.3 in 16-17, 36, 35.3, 11. I think that's a minus there, minus 2.2. You've got to think maybe that was that the season we got rid of Sumare. 55 million, 21-22, and so far minus 850,000, because obviously that was the Schmeichel one. Furthermore, the price of each of those stars is rising by the day. A buying club will have to pay more for Tielemans in the final week of the window compared with now, because Leicester would then have little time to reinvest that money in a replacement. Another key point to make is one of brutal reality. And this is where I absolutely think this guy is so spot on. Leicester cannot compete financially with the big six right now. No one, not even Liverpool probably, can compete with Manchester City and Chelsea in terms of financial clout. I think you could probably also add Newcastle to that, Geordie. Leicester have a plan to start to address that, but it will take years, decades maybe. At a cost of 100 million, they've built quite a brilliant new training ground which opened at Christmas and which many feel is as good as any other club facility in world football. That was money which could have been spent on the squad, but Leicester's bosses felt it was more important to build something more lasting, something which will help attract world-class signings in the future and help further develop the homegrown talent which has served Leicester so well, as in Barnes, Dewsbury Hall, Luke Thomas as examples. Almost exactly a year ago, they unveiled plans to build a new 220-room hotel, an events and entertainment venue, and plans to expand the King Power Stadium by 8,000 seats to a total of 40,000. Ambitious stuff. But here is the rub. When finished, the stadium will still only be just half the size of Old Trafford. So we're expanding, and we're only going to be still be half the size of Old Trafford. At the time, in August 2021, the club announcement read, to continue competing in the Premier League requires a disciplined, sustainable and innovative business model. And that statement perhaps best sums up Leicester's approach. To compete on the pitch with the best in the Premier League, you have to get closer to competing with them off the pitch. So now it's a conscious plan to invest more of the club's finances right now in the club's infrastructure rather than the first team. Tottenham did similar and was similarly criticised, when they built the mesmeric Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Yeah, I wouldn't say it was that good. It is, actually. But this isn't the only reason Leicester have been so quiet in this summer's transfer market. There is money for Brendan Rodgers to strengthen the squad, besides all the investment in buildings. But before any of that money is spent on new players, there is a determination that the squad must be trimmed. Leicester's best team is very strong, as evidenced by the lineup Rodgers picked for the season opener against Brentford, even without the injured Barnes and Ricardo. But they don't have the depth of quality throughout the wider squad that the big six enjoy. And yet, Leicester have a lot of senior pros on big money who aren't part of Rodgers' plans going forward. Kagler Soyuncu, apparently, Bertrand, Vestergaard, Perez, Pratt, and Choudhury, which we know. Three of whom weren't even in the matchday squad on Sunday and watched from the stands. We now obviously know Choudhury's going. You can include Sumare in that. Dennis Pratt has actually said he wants to stay, I believe, and he's made up with Brendan Rodgers, so that might be outdated now. It's tough to keep those players happy if they're not playing, and unhappy players can affect the unity and positivity of an entire squad. And remember, Leicester didn't have European football this season when some of those squad players could get a run out. The strategy is very clearly to get as many of those unwanted players off the wage bill as soon as possible before thinking of replacing them with new faces. Another problem is that Leicester only want to buy players who are as good, if not better, than players in their starting 11. That, to me, is the point. You know, there's no point going out and buying players, dare I say, Bertrand, dare I say, Vestergaard, that aren't as good as the players we already have. And they're both difficult to find and expensive. More than that, players of the sort of quality Leicester are interested in will want guaranteed football. Who's prepared to sit on the bench at the King Power Stadium when you could be on more money sitting on the bench at the Emirates or St James's Park? You know, that is very true. You know, we as Leicester fans look at Leicester through blue-tinted spectacles. But we are not, even though what we've achieved these last, 6 years since we got promoted, we are not a Tottenham, we are not an Arsenal, we are not now a Newcastle, with all respect to them. We're not a Man City. You know, players would not want to sit on our bench where they would go and sit on Manchester City's. It's very, very true. Add to this the fact that Leicester had so many injuries last season. Vardy, Fofana, Ndidi, Evans, Ricardo, Justin, Castagne, Barnes, Madison and Soyuncu. And, of course, not forgetting Uncle Tom Cobley. All had lengthy spells on the sidelines. This meant that players who might have been sold sooner are still on the books. Quite simply, Leicester needed the numbers last season. They don't this season. So to sum up, Leicester's bosses hope the supporters can remain patient, that the manager, hugely ambitious and coveted as he is, can remain patient too, and still buy into the Leicester way. Rodgers, of course, would like to have more funds for players, but he understands and respects the Leicester model. There is little doubt that, while Leicester's squad has stood still, the clubs they're competing with in the top half of the Premier League have progressed and strengthened. The fans' fears are predictable and totally understandable, and an opening day home draw against Brentford did little to boost their expectations. But it is a stark fact that the spending of the likes of Man City, Chelsea, Liverpool, Arsenal and Spurs, and almost certainly Manchester United too, by the end of the window, Leicester could spend £150 million this summer and still be no more likely than they are now to break the top six. It's a tough sell to explain to that to Leicester fee-paying public, who understandably want to see their squad getting stronger every year with exciting, quality, expensive new additions. Leicester bosses have to hope that their supporters understand and trust them, that the clever management and strategy that has got Leicester to where they are will stand them in good stead for the future too. Whoa. There we go. I did say it was a long piece, but how truthful, how on the ball is that? Rob Dorsett, I toff my cap to you, sir. That is so perfect. I sit here and I get frustrated, as we all do, at not signing players. And, you know, these channels that we all do, we like to come on, we want to get people watching, we want to get people commenting, subscribing, etc., etc. And sometimes we do vent our feelings. I've actually put the post-match show that we do, myself and Brad, back. Well, we used to do it about 30 minutes after the final kickoff. I've now put it back to 2 hours. And if it's a night game, to the day after, to give us time to sort of reflect and accept what had happened rather than just going at it like bull in a china shop. There's so much of that is so very, very true. I actually watched a video earlier, and it was Chris Kamara and somebody else were interviewing Alan Pardew and David O'Leary, who you may remember was the manager at Leeds. And it was a bit of an eye-opener about Leeds, because it all started to go wrong after David O'Leary had left because they wouldn't back him. And the problem with Leeds was they gambled. They gambled on getting into Europe, and that gamble didn't pay off. We all know what happened. They went bust. They went down to the third tier, as, of course, we did as well. But look how long it's taken them to get back. You know, we've been here 9 years. They've only just come back. Do we want that to happen to Leicester City? I don't. I would, you know, if Top was to knock on my door now, I'd say, go away, I'm doing a show. But no, if Top was to knock on my door now, I'd say to him, mate, I understand. That has made it clear. You have got the interest of this club at heart. Yes, it might mean for a season or two we have to bite the bullet. But long term, and that's what it is all about, we have got to invest the right way. And I think we have got the owners that will do it. Have Manchester United invested the right way? I don't think so. What they paid, was it 600 million I read today? 600 million that they paid for Manchester United. They borrowed that. They put themselves in debt to buy the club. That club is still in £600 million worth of debt. They have not spent any money. All the transfer money is generated by the club. They have still got that debt, and that debt is still hanging around Manchester United. And look where it's got them now. Yes, while Fergie was there, as it said on this, I think it was a show I was watching, while they had Fergie there, it kind of papered over the cracks a little bit, and they're always still winning. Not saying that the fans were happy. Of course, they weren't back even then. But do we want that for our club? We've been there. We know what it's like. You know, Gary Lineker had to dig us out once in his consortium. Milan Mandrić had to dig us out a second time. Thank God that Milan found the King Power Group, or Asian Investments, whatever it was called then, and didn't sell us to Gaymark like he did with Portsmouth. And obviously, the guy was allegedly a bit of a criminal. I don't want that for my club. If, you know, if Top says to me, you know, when he comes through and he's had his cup of tea and you know, a jammy dodger, I might let him have a jammy dodger. And, if, you know, he said to me, well, look, Chris, do you want me to risk everything, or shall we try and compete over a longer period? And maybe it means a couple of seasons when we're 8th, 9th, 10th, even 11th. But in the long term, I would not want to be in the same position as what happened to Leeds. I would not want to be in the same position as happened to Derby very recently. You know, they were gambling on getting up and getting into the Premier League. It didn't happen. Look what has happened to Derby. We've been there. We've been there, seen it. We've owned the T-shirt. Honestly, it got so many facts right. It was talking 100%. Let's just go back and catch up with some comments. Mike says, you've been you and Villa, I think I was wrong with Villa. He said, yeah, we've been put in. Can anyone explain why we have three strips and everyone clash with Brighton? Apparently, our third strip is mainly white green. How does that clash? Let's be honest with you. What happened in their old black and white days? We never used to worry about that. Mike's just going through the numbers for the show. Chris, remember in the Battle of the North and South, Leicester will always be Midlanders. Exactly. Matt's just still going through all the numbers there for everybody. Let's move on. Just trying to... Yeah, thanks for doing that, Mike. No, we don't need to replace Casper. Why go out and spend money on a Casper replacement when we've got Danny Ward? There are others. We need a right midfielder. We've lost out on... I've said it before. Fofana isn't leaving unless Chelsea pay 100 million or Chelsea need to give up on Fofana and they're wasting the money on Fofana. Whether it'll go up that high or not, I don't know. But yeah, I agree, Rennie. They should be paying a lot. He didn't believe something. I don't know what it was he didn't believe because it was quite a long story that. It's all tune tax. Don't worry, Leicester fans. We are buying Paquita from Leon instead of regular for Brazil. I see now. Yes, the fact that we were disgusted with your offers. You see, but Newcastle have got to be very careful because Newcastle come knocking on the door. And like, no, it's Newcastle. Add 10 million to that and we'll think about it. You know, you've got to walk a fine line with that one, Geordie. Let's just go down. Geordie says, I like Madison a lot. He should have played for England. Don't want to be another Everton. B. Crom's in. Good evening. Hamza is so underrated and valued. Chris, do you think we could persuade Grealish to sit on the bench as a backup to Madison? He would be. He would be a backup to Madison. But that is the point exactly. You know, he's had one season, a £1 billion player, one season at Man City. He was a bench warmer for a lot of it. Now he's going to get a bit more regular games because of the signings that or the players have let go, Sterling, for example. But would he have done that at Leicester? No, not at all. Mella's in. Hello, Chris. I'm delighted to see Hamza in a Watford shirt. Rob Edwards will look after him. Well, if he does well for you, mate, you've got an option to buy. The jury's out for me on Choudhury. Unfortunately, I just think the two players we have in that position, definitely Ndidi, and I think Mendy is probably overall better. Rico's in. Good evening, sir. How are you? Good idea, Chris. Sometime raw emotions get the better of us. After all, it's only a game. Sometimes we need to try and pick out some positives and thoughts behind things that happen during the game. I don't know. I think that 2 hours will make a difference. B. Crom, we don't need to sign players. We all have the players in that puzzle, but Rudyard doesn't know how to put them together. That's another story. Chris, doesn't help that Leicestershire Council are holding back the plans. Yeah, I agree. I agree, Scott. That is bad. B. Crom, we have a 3-5-2. Indeed, he has to play at centre-back because he can't pass, but Mendy, Hamza are the holding midfielders. Hi, Fields Fox. Good evening. How are you? I have friends in Thailand. They are scared to death to talk about King Power and their tax evasions, millions of pounds worth. Well, I'm sure if it is, there's something that'll happen to them. Rennie, do you think Top spent our money in January? I think if you listen to what I've just said, read out, we have got money. The money is there. But why pay it on players that we haven't got the space to play? Barcelona are doing that. Do you want to be Barcelona? Okay, guys, let me ask this question. Do you want to be Barcelona? They are bankrupt. They are mortgaged up to the hilt, double, triple, quadruple mortgaged. They are buying players that they've not even registered yet with La Liga. Do we want to be in that position? No, we don't. If you haven't read it, I don't know whether it will allow me to do this or not, but what I have just read out is in the... let me do this. Yes, it will. There's the link. There's the link for you to what I've just read out. Go and read it. It makes absolutely... Rob Dorset, mate, is one of the best reporters around, and that is an absolutely fantastic... Now, I'm just saying though, Rennie, you know, Barcelona, Leeds, Derby. Let you know, when it is Rob said there in that talk, the owners are investigating the infrastructure to close the gap on the big six in the long term. We have come so far, but we've now got to take the next step. It is frustrating, and that's the thing, Scott. It is frustrating. But when you read it like that, and maybe the owner should have come out and done something like that, I don't know. But when you read it like that, and I'm sure Rob obviously has his contacts at the club, it does make me feel better. But let's be honest with you, we're not going to get relegated. There's three worse teams than us in that league at the moment. So we're not going to go down. So if it is another season without Europe, if we do lose Tielemans, the long term we've got to look at, and when you come to think, you've got to think of financial fair play. We are expanding our stadium, and we will still, after the expansion, only be half the size of Old Trafford. Anthony, good evening. Nobody thinks about the second window after the World Cup. There will be lots of signings in that window, I think. They will, but I think it'll be silly money because people will have seen them play 6-7 games in the World Cup going, that guy's a star, and sign him. Gazelle. Do you remember Gazelle? Algerian, the new Mahrez. And there was another one as well. What was that Polish guy that we signed? Oh, we had a fantastic Euros and we signed him. He was a right winger, I think. And we never saw him. I think he played about three games. But no, as you say, Scott, we don't want to be like them. And that's the worry. Dan, it's a silly market. Players are right now talking themselves away from clubs all for a place in the World Cup. Don't overspend or fall the price of a player that would turn on your team. Scott says, I agree, Chris. If we don't make signings for the greater of the club, then so be it, rather than do things sensibly looking at the greater picture. 100%. Youth players. Now, it wasn't Kramaric. Ah, that's it, Kaputska. Thank you, Dan. Kramaric, I don't think was given a chance. That's another one of Kramaric and Musa, for me, are two that got away. But there we go. Yeah, Kaputska. Fantastic Euros for Poland. Came to us. So, you know, I am dreading some of the players that might be signed. And if you go and look at some of the play, what they call the signing disasters, there's some bad ones out there, and a lot of them do come after a Euros or a World Cup. Kaputska, yep, says Mike. So basically, I feel a lot better having read that. It's come from a source, Sky, that, okay, you know, it's the same as the Sun. They're both owned by the same people. But Rob Dorsett knows his stuff. He's a good reporter. You know, he doesn't get to that job at Sky by not knowing his stuff. That is a long one, and thank you for bearing with me while I read it out. Then, you know, do go and read it again if I bored the socks off you. I do know I can do that. But, yeah, please go and read it. And it does make you feel better. And, yeah, if we've got to take a couple of seasons to step back, then for the long-term benefit of the club, so be it. If we do need one player, we need a winger like Mahrez, a dribbling magician, we don't need anybody else. Exactly. Like I say, I wish we'd kept Luckman, but, hey, that's gone. But, anyway, two players out. The squad's down to 25. Maybe with a couple of extra ones, we can then go out and get someone. We will see. 1st of September, the window finishes. We are looking probably at about 20 days, something like that. So almost 3 weeks still when things can happen. Guys, thank you so much. Please, like I say, I've put the link there in the chat. If you are a Leicester fan, please go and read that and take in what Rob is saying, because, as I say, he does actually talk a hell of a lot of sense. Unlike me and unlike Dan, and we will both be back at 9 o'clock with the Big Bad Bad Show. Oh, you know, I can't stop saying that now. Please do come back. And please, guys, please, if you haven't already, please, please, please consider doing that.
Watch us on YouTube. Listen on your favourite podcast platform. Or ask your smart speaker to play the podcast Leicester Till I Die.
Subscribe, like, follow and join in now.
It is 9 o'clock, same channel, don't touch that dial. I've always wanted to say that. It's the Big Bad Bad Show, 9 o'clock, with me and young Daniel from Turf Moor House TV. And all the comments in that show are Dan's, not mine, just in case you want to know who to blame. Thanks very much. You beat me. You beat me to it about making sense. Yeah, I never do. I will see you along with Dan at 9. Thanks very much for tuning in, guys. Do go off and read that that article. If you read nothing else, this transfer window, just read that and accept and understand what's being said. See you at 9. Thank you very much now, guys. Take care. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. If you've been doing that on your favourite podcast platform, see you later. Goodbye. Don't do anything I wouldn't enjoy.
Thanks for watching Leicester Till I Die. This is Chris saying goodbye and see you next time.
Watching these videos are tremendous. You better like them too, or I'll be back.
Cool, I'm out of here. Ooh, that's a wrap.
Some people are on the pitch, they think it's all over. It is not.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mate's already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.